All right, good morning. Good morning, good morning. You all look very much ready for the Family Fun Fest this afternoon. I'm very excited about that. I do want to take a moment and embarrass a few people this morning. So in the house today are my parents and my girlfriend, who's also here. And believe it or not, they are not here to hear me preach. They're here for the fun fest. So I just happen to be, you know, on this morning. So very happy to have them here with us. Hope you get a chance to meet them. They'll be sticking around for the fun fest, of course. Man, I'm excited. I hope you are excited as well. And, you know, this morning we get to dive into the word a little bit before we head outside and start to serve our community and show them the love of Jesus. And so when I found out that I was preaching today, immediately, God put something on my heart that, like, I was clearly supposed to share this morning. And so that made it pretty easy, all right? So, a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go to Orlando, Florida for a youth pastor and youth leader conference, and it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. Being poured into, loved on, encouraged in ministry for two straight days, full days, filled with a lot of material. I mean, there was just so much covered during this time, and it was just a great time of ministry. And so if I had the time to share every single thing that, you know, I learned or that we discovered and unpacked that week, I would, but we don't have that time. Tammy's already looking at me like, the fun fest starts at 12:30, like, we gotta get going. All right, so the one thing, though, that has stayed in my mind over the last month since I've, you know, come home from this conference, so I got to hear a lot of different speakers. I got to hear some that I was very familiar with, some that I was not very familiar with, and all their teaching was obviously inspired by the Word of God, biblical teaching, and there was a lot that was covered, a lot. And even in that, there was something that stuck out, that jumped off the page to me more so than any other thing that was covered, and it was actually a message that was delivered by Pastor David Nasser, who was the campus pastor when I was at Liberty University. So I was very familiar with him in my time at Liberty, and for 20 minutes, he focused in on one statement. For 20 minutes, he keyed in on one statement that has been in my mind every day for the last month, and that statement is this: same purpose, different assignments. Same purpose, different assignments. And so what that means is that as believers in Jesus Christ, we all have the same purpose, but we have different assignments. He went on and on and on and on about that. And the more he went on and on and on about it, it continued to make sense to me. It continued to register with me as he went on giving this message. And I'm not the most, like, expressive person when someone's given a message, but, like, in my seat that day, I wanted to jump up and be like, yes, hallelujah, praise Jesus, thank you, this is perfect. That's what I wanted to say. And so I wanted to share some of that with us this morning. And so, for example, when we think about this, same purpose, when we think about our purpose here at Grace Gospel Church, we know that from our mission statement that is right up here on these walls: exalting Christ and pointing others to him. So if we look at that as our purpose, or other mission statements, to know him and to make him known, to love God and to love people, we think about statements like that. If we think about that as our purpose, then that means whatever we do should align with that. The various assignments, the various tasks, the various things that we do in our lives every single day should align with this purpose statement of exalting Christ and pointing others to him. That means that the unique gifts, the unique abilities, the things that God has called us to do should align with that. And we need to think about how we can do that. We need to think about how our lives can align and the assignments that we do and perform can align with that statement, exalting Christ and pointing others to him. And so as we walk through our main passage this morning and we walk through a couple other passages, I want us to keep that in mind. And we're going to say it a lot: same purpose, different assignments. And so if you have a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. And what we're going to see here is we're going to see Paul talk about some spiritual gifts. He's going to talk about their importance. He's going to talk about how we should even view these spiritual gifts as believers? What should we do with the information regarding spiritual gifts? And that's what he's going to talk about a little bit. So Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It says this. It says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." Verse 6, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." All right, so that's our passage for this morning, and we get to unpack that a little bit. But what we want to first point out here is that our spiritual gifts play a huge role in our service unto God. Our spiritual gifts play a huge role in how we serve God. So if you're going to use your gifts to serve God, to serve others, to love other people, then guess what? As a result, you're going to grow in your spiritual walk with Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. The two things go hand in hand. When you serve, when you love, when you're operating in the body of Christ as you are to do so, then you're going to grow spiritually. And again, we know that spiritual gifts are given by God for a distinct purpose. They're not to build me up. Do we know that? Our spiritual gifts are not for ourselves. They're to edify the church. All right? And so in our passage in Romans 12, I see really three things that jump out that we can take home from this. Like, you know, we're familiar, if we've been in the church any amount of time, we're familiar with spiritual gifts, but like, what do we do with the information that we're given in Scripture? What does it look like for me to appropriately walk in that in my life, in everything that I do? How can I use my gifts, my abilities, what God has given me, the passions that he's given me and placed on my heart, how can I use those for his glory, not for mine? And where do I fit in my role in the body of Christ? So the first thing that we see, if you look again at verse 3, the first thing is to live in humility. Look again at verse 3. He says, "Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to." Like, remember who you are. Remember where you are now, that where you are now as a believer is because of what God has done for you in his great grace and mercy. There's no room to boast in that. There's no room to be prideful in that. There's no room to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. There's more room, no room to think that like I'm superior to someone else because my gift is like better. It's not how it works. There's no room for that. Live in humility. Remember, these gifts were given to us by his grace. And if that sounds familiar, it's because salvation is given to us by his grace. Amen? It's the same thing. Our spiritual gifts are given to us by grace through faith. And so as a result, we cannot boast in that. Live in humility. The second thing I see in this passage is that we need each other. We need each other. Look again at Romans 12, 4 and 5. It says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." See, what Paul does here in this passage and in other places in Scripture, he compares the body of Christ to like that of the human body. He says that the different parts of the body obviously have distinct roles, and so for a human body to function the way it should, the way it's designed to, every part of the body needs to play their role properly. Make sense? All right. And so as you play that out, in order for the church body to function properly, everyone needs to do their job. We need each other, or else the body's not going to function as well as it possibly could. You know, and when I think of that, I obviously think of, intentionally, I think of the Family Fun Fest. We need each other. There's a million different roles, it seems like, that you all play, and there's a lot of things that happen, a lot of things that go into the Family Fun Fest for it to happen properly. Isn't that right, T? Like, it's gotta happen properly, and if it's going to happen properly, then everyone needs to do their job. Everyone needs to do their job. There's so many different roles to play. And to be honest with you, the Family Fun Fest is probably like my favorite thing that we get to do here at Grace. And Pastor Patrick touched on it too. Like, it's so fun. It's so cool to see our church body serving and seeing a passage like this, even in a simple afternoon activity that we do. It's cool to see a passage like this come to life, to see people playing different roles and doing different things in order for it to look the way that it's designed to. It's so cool. But the point is, we need everyone to play their role in order to make that happen. We need each other. That's the second thing that we can see from this passage on the body of Christ. And then thirdly, live in humility, realize that we need each other. And thirdly, trust in God's design. So in verse 6, he says what? He says that we need to exercise the gifts that are given to us by the grace of God. If it's in service, then serve. If it's in teaching, then teach, and so on. And to me, like, I think that that is, it's so simple because it's in the name, spiritual gift. But to me, that's one of the most overlooked or undervalued or simply like glossed over aspects of spiritual gifts is the fact that they are given to us and they are assigned to us by God. And a lot of times we just skip over that. That, you know, it's a spiritual gift. Yeah, yeah, I get that. But like, God designed for it to be that way. God designed for someone to function with this gift and someone else to function with this gift. And that's okay because God designed it to be that way. We can't just skip over the fact that this is what God designed for the church. 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distinguishing or distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Not just as I will, but as he wills. So if these gifts are given to us by God, then that begs the question, why do we let our flesh get in the way so often? Why do we value some gifts above others? Why do we think that some need to be held in a higher place than other gifts do? Why are we prideful, even in ourselves, to look down on someone else because they're not the same as me? But if we trust in God's design and we realize that it is by God, through grace, that he gives us these gifts as individuals, it's his design, and we need to trust in that. We need to trust in the unique way that God distributes these gifts. Own what makes you you. Own what makes you you. Own the way that God made you to be and made you to serve in the spiritual giftings that he's given you. Same purpose, different assignments. You know, when you think about this too, in Romans, we're familiar with the person who wrote the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul. And you think about that and you play that out a little bit more, like Paul certainly got this passage. He wasn't just writing this and having no clue what he's talking about or not applying it in his own life. Paul knew the purpose that he was called to. Paul knew that it wasn't about himself. Paul knew to walk in humility. And Paul knew that it was about Jesus alone being exalted and that others would be pointed to him. But, as we also know, it wasn't always that way for Paul. It was not always that way for Paul. The first time we see Paul, who was then referred to as Saul, is that the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 58. Acts 7:58, it says, when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. That's the first time we see Paul at the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Shortly after that, the next time we see Paul is in Acts 9, and in verse 1 of Acts 9, it says that Paul is still breathing out murderous threats against God's people. That's still what he's doing. Then just a few verses later, we know Acts chapter 9, we see the miraculous conversion of Paul, and after spending a few days with the disciples, it says in Acts 9, verse 20 and 21, it says, Immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name, and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? And I noticed that just as I read it, for the what of bringing them bound before the chief priests? For the purpose. See, Paul didn't understand his purpose then. Right? When Paul was breathing out murderous threats against God's people, he didn't know what his purpose was. He starts preaching then after his conversion, you know, there, and they're shocked. They're like, isn't this the same guy? Isn't this the same guy who, like, they laid their robes at his feet as they murdered and stoned a Christian, someone who was proclaiming the name of Jesus? Isn't that the same guy? Is this not he who destroyed people in Jerusalem who called on the name of Jesus? But Paul starts preaching and they are amazed. Because all of a sudden it seems like Paul just switched teams. He just switched teams. And it's incredible because to them, to their perspective, it went pretty quickly. All right? You know, at the conference that I was at again a month ago, Pastor David shared a story of his brother Ben, who had Down syndrome, and he passed away just a few years ago after a long battle with cancer. He went home to be with the Lord. And Ben, during my time at Liberty, Ben was like a superstar. I mean, everybody knew who Ben was. He was a rock star. And so a few years ago, Ben wanted to have this big old Super Bowl party. He wanted to invite everyone. He sent Pastor David, his brother, he sent him a list of like, you know, like 30, 40 people, not a big deal. He sent him a list of 30 or 40 people that he wanted to invite to this Super Bowl party. And Ben had a very, very specific agenda. Ben had a very, very specific plan as to what he wanted this to look like. And so right at the front door, when everybody walked in, they were guaranteed to be greeted by Ben, and they were going to wear a t-shirt that Ben was going to give them. So right at the front door, there were two stacks of shirts, one supporting one team of the Super Bowl and one supporting the other team, that Ben got plain shirts, and he drew on every shirt the team logo. On every single shirt, he drew the team logo that they were going to root for. So you're going to walk in, you're going to get a shirt from Ben, and he's going to tell you that's the team you're rooting for. He doesn't care if you have anything beforehand that like makes you want to root for a certain team. You're going to get a shirt, and Ben's going to tell you what team you're rooting for. And so everybody played along. Everybody did it because they loved Ben. They cared about Ben. And so the game began, and Ben's team started winning. Ben chose the shirt that everybody's wearing. Ben's team started winning, and he wanted to let them have it. He was like, your team stinks. How could you root for such a bad team? How could you? Like, he chose the team that they were going to root for, and he's yelling at them because they're on the wrong team. Ben's team was killing it. And he wanted everybody to know that, even though they had no choice in the matter. Then the second half comes along, and the team going against Ben scores a touchdown. They score another touchdown. They score another touchdown. And they start beating Ben's team. And it finally got down to like the fourth quarter, and at the end of the fourth quarter, and it was clear Ben's team was going to lose. And so David, being the very good brother that he is, was like, he gathered all the boys together. He's like, we got to get Ben. We got to let him know. We got to get in his face, tell him his team stinks, tell him all these things, and just let him have it. The only problem was at the end of the fourth quarter, Ben was nowhere to be found. They couldn't find him. They looked in the kitchen. They looked outside. They looked in the living room. They looked downstairs. They could not find Ben. So then David finally, at the end of the game, he goes upstairs. He finds Ben in his room, and Ben storms out of his room. He gives David a big old hug, and he says, we won! And David's like, no, we did not. I won, because David had the other team shirt on. But then he looks down real quick at Ben, and Ben's got a shirt on of the team that ended up winning. So what Ben did while he was in his room, he turned his t-shirt inside out and wrote the winning team's logo on it, comes out of the room and says, we won! Genius. Ben knew what he was doing. He was smart. What are you going to argue with that? He's got the shirt on. See, Ben switched teams, kind of like Paul. Paul started using his abilities. He started using them for the right purposes on the right team. You know, it's not like Paul was converted and all of a sudden changed in like his ways of doing things. It's not like he suddenly became vocal and became passionate about what he cared about. Before knowing Jesus, Paul was obviously, we see in Acts 7:58, that he was obviously a great person of influence and stature, and he was very passionate about what he believed in. The only difference now is that he's doing it for the right team, because Paul found his purpose. He went from being someone that was destructive against God to being someone that was destructive for God. Right? Like, look, in verse 1, he's still breathing out these murderous threats against the Christians. And then in verse 20, it says he immediately began to preach in the synagogues because he found his purpose. And so that's our next point, is that when you find your purpose, your assignments begin to make sense. Paul found his purpose. And so it began to make sense for him. When you find your purpose is to live for him, when you find out that your purpose is to exalt Christ and to point others to him, to love God and to love other people, that makes doing whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that you're going through, it makes it easier because you understand what your assignments might be. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So in this newfound purpose for Paul, he lives by faith in the Son of God who gave his own life for him. And so that means that in all that he does, Christ shines through. Same purpose, different assignments. And so I think there's a couple of big takeaways for us this morning. Because here, again, at Grace Gospel Church, we know our mission statement. We know our purpose in that, to exalt Christ and to point others to him. So what's the challenge? The challenge is simply to start doing your assignments. I kind of sound like my math teacher when I was in 12th grade. Start doing your assignments. Start doing what God has called you to do. Operate in the areas where Christ has given you the gift. Again, we're big on our mission statement here. If you've been here any amount of time, it doesn't take long to figure out what our purpose is. But I think it's one thing to get that. It's one thing to sit in here and to recite that. But it's a whole different thing to live that out with our lives through the various assignments that we've been given. To live in that calling, to start doing your assignments. And the reality is that in this room, we all have a bunch of different assignments. The reality is that probably no two callings specifically in this room are the same, but the purpose is the same. And whatever we do to exalt Christ and to point others to him, again, we think about the Family Fun Fest. There's going to be a lot of things happening, a lot of different things, and independent of one another, they're not any good. If we have one thing going on out there, it's not a very good fun fest, right? But all together in one body, with the same purpose, but different assignments, they work together well. And it's a beautiful thing. The second takeaway is that we need to foster their gifts, foster other people around us in their gifts. Acknowledge someone else's gift and encourage them to use that to God's glory. You know, and I couldn't think of a better same purpose, different assignment story to close with than another one that Pastor David shared with us a few weeks ago. So he had a student one time that he was really trying to minister to. He was really trying to get to know better. He was really trying to develop this kind of discipleship relationship with so that he could minister to him. And so he, in order to do that, he was like, let me take him out to lunch. Let me see what this kid likes. Let me see what he's into. Let me see what he's passionate about. Let me see what his dislikes are even. Because I need to, if I'm going to minister to this kid, I need to get to know him on a personal level. And so David took him out to lunch, and you know, he expected him to talk about football or something like that. And the passion that this kid had was pretty different. It was pretty different. So he was inquiring about what this young man was passionate about, and he went on for about 30 minutes about this one particular passion. And David didn't fully get it, and I didn't fully get it when he was explaining it. But it's something to do with, like, potato water. Some sort of, like, science project that this kid did. And he researched it. And, like, there's something special that happens with, like, a potato and water. I don't know. But that's not the point. Okay? the point is this. David's initial reaction to that, after he's going on for 30 minutes about some potato water, he was like, this is pretty weird. This kid's a little weird. And if potato water is your thing, I'm sorry. But what was interesting is that, again, Pastor David admitted that. And he's like, you know, you could have just said football or video games or music or art. And this kid's over here going on about potato water. But then David got to thinking about why he came. He got to thinking about why he came. He came to disciple this kid. He came to help this kid. I'm getting a little emotional even thinking about it. In their relationship, he said, I want to build a relationship with this kid. It doesn't matter what it is. You know why? Because God gave the gift. God gave the passion. And so how can he use that for his glory? How can we help someone who has a different gift than I got? How can I help them to grow in that and to use it for God's glory? That's what David was reminded of. Foster their gift. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't. Because God gives the gift, and so therefore, it can be used for his purposes. It could be the best actor on Broadway, the best football player in the state, or some kid that's fascinated with potato water. God can use it. God can use it. Same purpose, different assignments, and an audience of one. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be able to gather together this morning and open up your word. And Lord, we think of what you've done for us in the unique ways that you've gifted all of us, the unique abilities that you have given to us. And God, we realize even in this place that we have one purpose. And if we can simplify it in one term, it's that we have here at Grace and our mission to exalt Christ and to point others to him. And God, we also realize that there might be different assignments that we have in order to fulfill that mission, and that's okay. God, help us to walk in the unique ways that you have gifted us. Help us to even see others around us and foster those gifts. Help us to see others around us who might have a gift that is different from our own, and that it can be used to your glory. It can be used in the mighty hand of God to point others to you. God, help us to acknowledge that. Help us to see that, and help us to walk in that according to your will and your purpose. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.